This is Adam O'Leary with the Lead Generation Mastery Podcast. Each week, I interview successful entrepreneurs and have them share their exact traffic and lead generation strategies they are using to scale their businesses. The best part? You can implement these processes in your own business and start seeing results right away. If it's helpful for you, I broke the show into an easy-to-follow step-by-step guide that can be found in our Facebook group at adamoleary.com/group. Once again, that's adamoleary.com/group. All right, let's dive into this week's show. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Lead Generation Mastery. This is your host, Adam O'Leary, and today I have Rob and Ken on today's session from Email Marketing Heroes, and we are going to be diving into their pretty amazing process of being able to go into other communities and be able to generate leads from that area. So Rob and Ken, how are you guys?
We're really good.
Good. Hello.
Very good. Very good. I am really excited about this session, and I'm really looking forward because I've tried doing this as well, and I've struggled in some areas to try to do this, okay? And what we're talking about is diving into other communities, whether it be podcasting communities or whether it be webinar communities or any type of communities that's out there. And I guess the first question that I have for you is, how are you identifying these communities? So I guess just give a little bit of background on Email Marketing Heroes and I guess what type of audience you're looking for. So let's start there.
Yeah. So our sort of target audience is just for our business personally is course creators. So people who create and sell courses about anything on the internet, anything from basket weaving through to tennis and everything in between. So that kind of thing. Coaches, consultants, people who sell their information in some way, membership site owners, that kind of thing. That's our kind of core demographic. So one of the first things that we wanted to do to get in front of those people, when we started out our business, we couldn't afford to be running Facebook ads. And of course, that's just getting more and more expensive all the time. Nor did we particularly know how, nor did we want to learn it. Like we sort of, the idea of it sounded quite sexy, but then actually when you dive into it and you realize you've got to have a million things to split test and you've got to sort of be quite analytical with the data and all of that stuff, we just didn't want to do it. So we thought, well, what can we do to get in front of our demographic? And again, just because ours is course creators, membership site owners, and coaches, this will work for you no matter who your demographic is. Unless they've got the internet, then this is going to work for you. So basically what we started doing was to look at who are the sort of leaders in our field who are selling to that crowd already. In other words, who are the other people selling to our crowd, but who are teaching primarily different stuff to us? So obviously we teach email marketing. We teach you how to get more people opening, clicking, and buying from your emails so you can make more money from a smaller list. So we've got to figure out, okay, great. How do we get in front of the people who also serving that crowd? Now, of course, we don't want to go to the other people teaching email marketing necessarily, although that can work. And we'll talk about that. We really want to go to the people who are selling at them from a slightly different angle. So what else do our people buy? Well, they buy training about membership sites. They buy training about Instagram and social media stuff. They buy training about Facebook ads. They buy training about how to make a course. A million different things for people buying, you know, who want to learn how to make a course. They buy webinar training. They buy sales copywriting training. So we just said, okay, great. In that case, that gives us, I mean, I've just rattled off probably 5 or 10 there. You could keep going and come up with 20 or 30 other people who sell to the same market that you do, but they sell from a different angle. So then what we started doing is, okay, great. Now let's look at it from a different perspective. Okay, who else? Let's look at the people who are teaching business generically and teaching the finance side of business, you know, how you have a better, financially more stable business. And we suddenly realized this gives us a pool of millions of people. Collectively, it gives us the same pool of people to tap into that you could target with Facebook ads, but we get into it without having to pay for that reach. And so what we started to do was to literally start by identifying the people, not at like the very top of their game, not the people who are untouchable and have big gatekeepers in the way, but how do we reach out to business owners of a similar level to us? How do we reach out to our peers who also have the audience that we want, but they've got more of them, or they've got an audience that is of different people. And so that was our kind of start, was to identify who else is selling to our target demographic, is building an audience of our target demographic and has already done a lot of that work and is selling at them, like I said, from a kind of different perspective.
I love that. That's awesome. And one thing I saw there, so you said that you don't reach out for the guys who are too big. I guess what type of, like, what are you looking for? Are you looking for somebody who's like the same level as you, who's earning the same amount? Is it the size of the community? Like, how do you know like I was listening to one podcast by Russell, and he made a very good point. He was like, you kind of want to stay in your own ballpark when you're reaching out and you're trying to do it. If you try to reach out to Tony Robbins, of course you're going to get pushback from that. Like, there's no way he's going to promote you. So what is it that you're looking for? Are you looking for the size of the audiences? Are you looking for the money that they're making? Like, just what is that type of thing?
It's an interesting thing, isn't it? And I'm not sure. I would like to challenge that limiting belief that you can't get to big players. Like, you definitely can, but the way you have to do that is completely different. So, for example, when we started Email Marketing Heroes, before we started our podcast, before we started our programs and our membership, before we did anything, we didn't know anybody, really. We all have to start. So if anyone's listening to this right now, well, I don't know anybody. The good news is, well, that's okay, because everybody at some point was nobody. Everybody was getting started at some point. So what we want to do is make sure that, yes, we want to try and get in front of people, but also you can have a dream list. You can have a dream list of people you'd really like to work with, people you'd really like to get a promotion out of, or people you'd like to share a stage with, or whatever that sort of dream might be for you, right? And to have that, be sharing that constantly by having a LinkedIn your email signature, or to be telling people about, hey, do you know anybody? And one of the ways that you can get in front of those really big people is by asking a really interesting question. And that is, every time we have a guest on our podcast, the Email Marketing Show, before we let that guest go, we ask this really interesting question. And that is, is there somebody you could introduce us to who you think would be great for the show, who you don't think we would be able to reach? And what that immediately does is it puts that person in that next level of, oh, who's a bit like me, or who's a bit smaller than me? That's not what you're looking for. You're like, hey, who's the most impressive person you can think of that you could get me in front of? And now you're able to start climbing those things even faster. So that's one of the things. But anyway, circling and dragging myself, kicking and screaming back to your question, Adam, about who do we look for? What are we looking for? What we want to do when we're giving talks, when we're giving, whether it's a podcast interview or we're giving a training inside of a community, is we're looking for the qualification of the audience. For example, somebody came to us a few years ago and said, I've got this free Facebook group. It's got a gazillion people in, and they're all like freelance virtual assistants or wannabe virtual assistants. And we said, that sounds like great fun. Let's go and do a little training for you. We'll come and have a chat. So we did. The show up rate of people in that group, even though there were a bazillion of people in that group, was horrific. It was terrible because there was no buy-in. There was no real incentive. There was no commitment from those people in the group. We tried it a few more times and found actually, like, doing presentations and talks and stuff in free Facebook groups never creates a return for us. Go try it. You might find that with your style, your audience, the thing you're doing might work. Definitely try it. For us, it didn't work. So it's about becoming cognizant. It's about becoming aware of what's working, what's not working. What we have found is, if someone is paying $30 plus a month to be a member of a community, say a paid membership, a group coaching program, something like that, and we can go in as a guest, unpaid, we don't get paid, and then we have strategic ways of including calls to action in unusual ways, those people show up, they're action takers, which means they go and they get a hold of the thing you're talking about, and they start actioning it, and they're action takers in such a way that they want to go and take it to the next level. So they'll come and engage in, they'll come and download one of our lead magnets, or they'll come find our Facebook group, the Email Marketing Show community, or they'll listen to the podcast, or they'll do whatever. So you want to look at, if you want to use someone else's audience to build yours, we have to make sure their audience are actually paying attention. If that person's audience aren't even looking at them, if you're in a room full of people, but you're at the back of the crowd, and they're all facing away from you, pointless exercise. You want to have they got attention, and can they have influence over that audience?
Absolutely. I love that 1,000,000%. And I guess one fear that a lot of people have is when you're approaching those communities. So to go ahead, find these communities, that's one thing. You can get a virtual assistant, or you guys can do it yourself. But I guess the other side is, what are you actually saying to these leaders that have these communities? How are you reaching out to these individuals and getting them onto your, or allowing you to go into their community?
For us, it's really all about having a totally unique hook and a totally unique angle. So if we, the minute we say we teach email marketing, if we just say we teach email marketing, people tend to switch off. Because I mean, who doesn't teach email marketing? My gran's teaching email marketing now, and it's dead and doesn't work anymore. And that's the kind of, everyone feels like that about their email marketing, right? Nobody really cares. Whereas if we can make it exciting and interesting, so first of all, we talk about specifically who we help, course creators, coaches, membership site owners, and consultants. We talk about what makes it different. So we teach email marketing that does, you know, you enjoy sending the emails, your subscribers enjoy receiving the emails, and they make sales. You can email as often as every single day and people still love it. That's a really unique hook. And we teach psychology-driven email marketing from the mindset of a hypnotist, that's me, and a mind reader, that's Kennedy. And so with those things in place, that gives us a really unique, like, for example, there's a guy who we were following, a guy called Mike McAllowitz, who wrote a book called Profit First. If he just says, oh, I teach business more of the money they make, that sounds really boring and bland. But he wrote a book called Profit First, which is about how you take the profit out of your business first and you get paid first before you expense stuff. That sounds really exciting. And that's why he's a book that's become a bestseller and a brand that's really exciting. So the first thing is take the thing that you teach and make it sound exciting. Make it sound like it's going to be a thing that's different to everyone else who offers to come and teach about your thing. If you teach webinars or basket weaving or whatever it is that you teach, the thing you teach has to be so different from what everyone, nobody else teaches email marketing the way we do. I'm not saying we're the best email marketing trainers in the world. That's for somebody else to decide. That's for you to decide by people's. But what I can categorically tell you is that what we teach is different to what everyone else teaches. And so the first is to have that unique proposition. If you're just going to go in and say, hey, I teach bland McBland face, can I come and teach to your group? They're going to say no. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is just have an exciting, outlandish outreach process. So our email, we get outreach emails all the time about various things. And again, they're normally dull and just blooming horrible. Hi, I'm such and such and such and such a place. Can I come and talk about this thing? And it's just very uninteresting. So we wrote like a in your face. Some of the people we send it to are going to be offended just because it's our style. Doesn't mean you have to make it offensive. Email to grab people's attention and say, hey, look, we're worth listening to. Can we come and be on your podcast or can we come and talk in front of your group? And again, it doesn't really come from like the standard outreach principles. It's all about just, again, getting attention. And we get loads of replies from people saying, I love this email. Yes, I'm going to give you a platform because I was impressed by what you sent me. So it's about having a unique hook about the thing you teach and then getting in front of people with unique messaging.
Absolutely. And can you give me like an example? So if you were reaching out to, say, like a community that's teaching people how to become course creators, for example, like, can you just give an example of what that email may say?
Yeah. So the first thing that you really want to do is to dig deep and find What's an attention grabbing subject line that's going to make them open it? This, you don't have the benefit you have with email marketing. With email marketing, people think your subject line gets your email open. That's not true. Your name in their from field is what gets the email open, the relationship that they have with you as a subscriber. When you're doing this cold outreach, you don't have the, unless you're well known, you don't have benefit of that relationship. If you did, you would be like, send them a WhatsApp message or something saying, hey, can I come and do a thing? So because this is cold, the subject line and the approach needs to do much heavier lifting. So the first thing you want to do is to grab something that absolutely doesn't sound like outreach and absolutely sounds like it was only and could only have been sent to them. So this could be call me first name. Now, just as an aside, I did that once and sent out a genuine email to our email list with that subject line. And one of our friends, Alex, immediately within minutes of me hitting send, called me. And I was like, hey, dude, how's it going? And he was like, what do you want? And I said, what do you mean? What do you want? And he said, I've just seen your email saying, call me. And all he'd done is he'd seen the subject line, thought, God, Rob must be in trouble. That sounds like an emergency. Picked up his phone and called me, right? So what you can do is to send something that just cuts through the noise. If you look at most of the outreach you receive, if you receive stuff like people asking you to promote them or sell you something, like service providers trying to sell you backlinks or whatever. Again, normally the subject lines are really descriptive. They're really about the thing that they're trying to sell you. So the first thing you want to do is cut through the noise with some sort of loud, punchy subject line. The minute they open the email, you now talk about, again, it's got to be outlandish. It doesn't have to be benefit led. It doesn't have to be why it's good for them. It just has to be about, and I'm trying not to read ours out because obviously we use ours, but like, it's got to just cut through the noise and grab them by the throat and say, look, this is worth paying attention to. You're not looking to sell them anything in that, sell them on having you. You're just looking for them to reply and say, damn, this email was funny. It was interesting. It was good. And you want to spend some time doing this. Like our last one probably took 2 or 3 hours to write this one email. And then all we do to follow up for the people who don't reply the first time around is we just use short, snappy 2 or 3 line emails to bump it back up to the top. So it's a reply to our own email to them saying, you know, hey, I noticed you haven't looked at this yet. And we have a sad picture of Kennedy crying in it. Like, and we're just finding new ways to bump the original email back in their inbox. And all we're looking for, and we do it like 5 times, and all we're doing is looking for them to reply, because the minute they reply, we've got them, and then we can have a conversation about what we can actually do for them.
Absolutely. And in that first email that you send, is it like a 2-sentence type of an email, or is it like a longer form type of an email?
Yeah, it's a longer email. It's, you know, you have to come up with an angle. And the really important thing with this email is it has to be really genuinely in your personality. So because our personalities are like fun and a bit outraged, but also self-depreciating, self-deprecating, selfish, self-deprecating, then that's the style that we go for in our outreach email. What you want is for them to think, oh, I would really want that in front of my audience. Not just for the topic, because the topic is like said, the topic is the topic, right? But when they feel the essence, when they feel that personality coming across, whether that's like, remember, there's different types of personality. There's not just outrageous, funny and stuff. No, there's like serious and trustworthy, and there's sincere personalities, like whatever it is, put your personality across in that, and the right people will go, oh, I really want that personality in front of my people, because we're going to add value. Like, they are basically introducing and endorsing you by putting you in front of their audience. So this is a longer email for us. It gives us some time to express ourselves, to sort of say why we'd be great a fit for them, why they'd be a great fit for us, what we'll talk about. And we want to just, really important thing with the outreach email, because this is like not like they've found some content, joined your email list, and that you've got permission to email. What you want to do is you want to not just say why you're different, but you want to show why you're different, right? So if you look at the difference in theater or in movies, you don't just tell people stuff, you show them stuff, right? You don't go, hey, I'm really scared. You show someone who's really scared, right? So we're going to do the same thing. If we say we're fun, well, the language in our emails is going to be fun. Like, there's nothing worse. I've seen these emails before. I mean, outreach. Hey, hi, dear Kennedy. I would really like to be on the Email Marketing Show podcast. I am a really fun and engaging SEO speaker. Nearly in a coma just reading that. It's so boring. Like, don't tell me you're fun. Be fun. Or if you're really sincere, damn, be really sincere. Like, be the thing that you say. And then what that does is that connects with people. So they go, oh, I don't just want somebody. And this is the big change. I don't want somebody to talk about email marketing to my audience. I want these guys. I want Rob and Kennedy from Email Marketing Heroes to talk to my audience about email marketing. When that happens, that's when you get replies. And similarly, and this is a really important thing, permission to do this, is you also, if you haven't got to a place with that outreach email where people, where you know some people are going, oh my God, I never want Rob and Kennedy talking to my people. Because otherwise you've gone too safe. You're not going to bring the fans closer if you don't push the haters further away. So it's got to do that. Some people will, if I get a really sincere email from you, I'm going to think it's creepy. I'm going to hate it. I'm probably going to delete it. If you send me something wacky and outrageous, I'm probably going to love it.
I love that. I always like to say, like, even for my business partner, Dan, he has a very different personality trait than me. So the things that interest me, like, I gravitate towards kind of like the funnier side, that type of things, while my partner will totally go towards the sincerity angle. And I think that's interesting. I really like that, because you're saying that not everybody is going to respond to your email. Like, there's only going to be a small subset of people who actually respond. And what is like a typical response rate that you see? Is it 10%, 20%? Like, what should people expect if they're going to try to do this themselves?
That's going to really depend on a few things, right? I hate the depends answer, but here's some things to definitely consider, because we see this in Facebook groups all the time. In fact, in our free Facebook group, Email Marketing Show Community, people ask, I would say every week, what's a good open rate? What's a good click-through rate for an email? It's a really interesting question that people ask, but unfortunately, it's not that valuable an answer. Like, what are you going to do with the answer to that question? Because what happens is your response rate is going to depend on What is, how busy are the people that you're reaching to? How high in the hierarchy are they? How protected are they? Have you got a direct email address or have you got a support at email address? Is the thing that you want to talk about, is it overloaded? Is it a thing that is like really, really flooded? Is it not? Also, how good's the email? How good is your email deliverability as a sender with reputation? So what I would hate to do, I remember a while ago, I listened to someone's podcast about podcast advertising and they said, oh, you can advertise your podcast for $200 a month. And I went on the podcast platforms and found out it was $2,000 a month. And I was like, that's a big disconnect for me. And I felt really let down about my ability to advertise on these platforms, right? So what I don't want to do right now is go, hey, we get a blah, blah, blah response. Well, and then for you to feel discouraged by that. The good news is whatever you send out the first time, what's interesting is we need to monitor what we're getting. And here's the really important thing. Whether you're doing outreach email or you're doing your normal email marketing, it's a game where all you're trying to do is be less crap than yesterday. So if the email you sent out this month got a 2% reply rate, great. Tweak it. Change the subject line. Something. Make a tweak. Next month when you do it, what did it do? Did it go up? Did it go down? If it went up, guess what? That's the new one you're going to try and beat. All you're trying to do is beat the control over and over again and be less crap than you were last time. So
I love that.
My thing is don't get yourself caught up in what is a good response rate. Get yourself caught up in, can I get this email written today? Can I get this audience sought after today and get the first email out and get a response rate, and that response rate might be zero, right? Get a response rate, and then you've got your first one to try and beat.
I love that. That's awesome. I mean, that's so accurate. Beat the control. That's a great way to think of it. And you said that you follow up about 5 times with people. How often are you following up with them? Is it like every day? Is it every other day? Is it every week?
So we leave like a 5-day gap between them, mostly for email delivery reasons. Obviously, one of the things that we're doing, we use a piece of software to actually automate the email follow-ups. So we just take our spreadsheet if people want to reach out to, drop it into that, and it fires it out and does all the nudges and everything. But it's actually genuinely sending it out through our actual, we use G Suite, the business thing by Google. It actually is sending out through our assistant's inbox. So it's actually sending out using a paid for business, but effectively just domestic Gmail account. And therefore, the reason for that is that we therefore need to be a bit more careful about our deliverability than if you're using an email marketing platform, which obviously you don't want to do cold out through your email marketing platform for spam laws and all that. But if you're using, ActiveCampaign or Keep or any of those things, you could effectively, you're offloading the response a certain amount. Obviously, you've got to follow rules. They're going to shut you down if you don't do a good job, but it's actually just their server and their IP address that you'll be messing with. Whereas here, this is like this is your Gmail account. This is your Google account. So we want to be a little bit careful. So we like limit our emails and other platforms that you use, whether it's Mailchimp or Gmail or any of these sort of platforms for doing this outreach, they'll give you advice on what frequency to use in the early days and things. But we spread it out. So we only follow up after 5 days. So effectively within a month, we can reach out to somebody once and then 5 follow-ups. And again, each follow-up is really just about, it's not about coming up with a new clever email. It's just about taking the first one and bump, because we put so much time and care into making that first one good. It's just about bumping it up in their inbox. And it's just, we're all busy. We all get loads of emails. We all get too many emails. One of the reasons why we're trying to make people's email marketing better. And so one of the things that you want to do is just to remind people just don't have a lot of time. And sometimes they'll read your email, think, oh, that's great. I must reply to that. I definitely want to have those guys do some stuff for me. But actually, I'm just busy right now and I'll respond later. And we know that later is never. So all we're trying to do is bump it back up to the top.
Adam here. Hope you're enjoying the show so far. While it's fresh in your mind, go to adamoleary.com/group. I've broken this entire show into a step-by-step process that you can download from inside of our Facebook group and implement yourself or hand off to a virtual assistant. Once again, that's adamoleary.com/group. All right, let's dive back in. And when you go ahead and you do a speech to somebody's audience, like for example, this one, where do you send those listeners to? Like, where are you trying to get them to?
Sure. This is a thing we've experimented with a lot. So there's a couple of really important things if you're given talks. A big mistake we see people making is that they leave the call to action to the end. The problem is if you look at the chart on any podcast, any YouTube video, it doesn't go up as people, the listenership doesn't go up near the end. It goes down near the end, right? So to leave any call to actions to the end is like saying, I only want some of the audience to get my call to action. Thank you. Only the really committed ones you've left it on until the end because they were snoozing or whatever. You don't want to do that. The first thing
just,
you want
to
do.
Just very quickly to jump in on that is even if you use tech like open loops and stuff designed to hold people's attention to the end and not even elegant open loops. I'm talking, you hear about it a lot with webinars and things. And we do this too. It's worth doing, but you don't want to rely on it. It's saying, oh, and at the end of this, I'll tell you the 5 secrets to make $1 billion by lunchtime. Like that will only keep people hanging around. No matter how good your promise is, that will only keep people hanging around if they've actually got the time to hang around. Because if you're racing to pick the kids up from school or you've got somewhere else, you're a ticking time bomb. You have very long, but you have to close that down. So yeah. That's just worth doing, but it's not a definitive don't. That's going to mean that everyone's now going to hang, or the majority are now going to hang around till the end. For most people, it's not right. An attention thing as much as it is a time.
Right. So what we do is when we're giving these training is we mention the call to action at the beginning. So this is how we do it. You can just use this formula. We've played with this a lot. All we do is we say, hey, this is who we are. Here's a mercifully short introduction to us. This is Rob. He's got red hair. He's a hypnotist. This is Kennedy. He's got platinum hair. He's a psychological mind reader. We're obsessed with email marketing. Probably know us from, here they come. Here's the two major call to actions. You probably know us from our podcast, The Email Marketing Show, which most people listen to on Apple iTunes and Spotify. The other place you might know us because we're obsessed with email marketing and talking about it once a week on the podcast wasn't enough, was in our free Facebook group, The Email Marketing Show Community, which I know a lot of you are already members of. So what we've done is we've dressed up the call to actions as credibility. Right, so we've reframed call to actions as credibility. So now what's happening is your listeners, your viewers of your training or your podcast episode you're on, are now seeing that as a credibility thing, but they are making the decision to go and take the action. Because we all like buying, we all like making decisions to do stuff. What we all hate doing is what we're told. Like since I was a kid, since you were a kid, we've all hated doing what we're told, right? I think our parents would tell us that. So when we tell people to do stuff, they're always going to go, do I want to do that? Whereas if you've just planted some seeds and thrown them out there, apparently as credibility, and they decide, their commitment to following through with that, psychologically speaking, is much higher. But that's not where we stop. So we do that near the beginning. Then, of course, we'll mention the thing throughout. So one of the things you definitely want to do is get into the habit of never saying my YouTube channel or my website or my our podcast. We never say those words. What we do, and we struggled with this for a while, how to get this right in our heads, because how you structure this in your head will absolutely equal how it comes out of your mouth. So what we do instead is we program our brains to imagine, this is not the truth, but we want to imagine for our own belief system that we have more than one podcast, we have more than one Facebook group, and we've got more than one website. So whenever we mention our podcast, whenever we mention our Facebook group, we want to clarify which Facebook group and which podcast of ours we're talking about. And by doing that, it comes across as sincerely helpful because that's what you're being. So when I say to you, look, for example, on our email marketing show podcast, what we do, the inference of that is that there are other podcasts. Or, for example, when people join our email marketing show community Facebook group, what we do is, you can see how I don't have to fake anything. I don't have to remember any scripts. I just have to feel the inference of I'm making clarification as to which one I'm talking about. So that's the second phase. The third phase is to have the end call to action. So that might be a link to a lead magnet, right? It might be a link to your Facebook group, whatever it's going to be. So lead magnets, Facebook groups, they work really, really well.
That's awesome. That's really good. And when somebody gets into your Facebook group or they download your lead magnet, what happens next to that user?
So our thing then is we want to convert that person into a customer as fast as possible. And there's two reasons for that. One is that's how we make money. Like at the end of the day, we can't be shy about the fact that we sell stuff by email. Therefore, we need to make offers and things. So the way that we do it is this. The first thing is somebody opts in for our lead magnet or they join our Facebook group and they go into something that we call our email engine. And our email engine, this is the sort of strategy and the approach that we teach, is just the number one thing that makes the majority of our sales in our business really, really quickly and enables us to scale fast and have consistency and predictability and all that kind of thing. It means that you're not reliant on doing launches and hoping that it works. I listened to a podcast the other day with somebody. One of the guests said, oh, I just did a launch and nobody bought anything. So I totally messed up the launch. Think about the months of work that have gone into that launch process to then fall flat on its face. Or if you launch a membership and you find out that you've screwed the retention up and everybody cancels after month one, you've just lost all of that momentum. So we wanted something that would build slowly and build quickly and predictably over time. So we create this thing called the email engine. And basically the easiest way to think of it is a little bit like a train. So if you imagine a train, it's made up of separate train carriages or train cars or whatever you call them. And basically when somebody gets on a train, the first thing is you first of all get on just whatever carriage is nearest, and then you like work your way down the train with your ticket to try and figure out where you're supposed to be, and then eventually find your seat. And so what we do is our very first train carriage in our email engine is our welcome sequence. We call it our getting to know you sequence, and basically it's 4 emails over 4 days just to welcome people on board. And the primary reason why we have that is because we need to set context and expectation. When somebody comes along and gives you their email address and they opt in to get your lead magnet, as far as they're concerned, the transaction's complete. You said, put your email address in here and I'll give you this free thing. They're kind of, obviously now people are getting more and more savvy. People do know that they're joining a newsletter, whereas maybe 10 years ago, they didn't so much. But still, it's not great to then suddenly start emailing them out of the blue about whatever else you've got going on in your life. You know, this new thing you're launching, that new program, that, you know, bonus 3 is going away today. And they're like, I don't even know what bonus 1 or 2 was. I don't even know what the product is. What's happening here? And we see this all the time, even by big name marketers. So the getting to know you sequence is just designed to set context. Hello, we're Robin Kennedy, Email Marketing Heroes. Here's what you can expect. We email you every single day with a short shot. And here's why that's good. We give you a short, sharp tip, story, idea, or piece of inspiration to help you with your email marketing. You can also hang out with us in our Facebook group. You can also listen to our podcast. You can also get into the members area and download the lead magnets. We put all our lead magnets behind a members area, so they have to log in and see all of our other products. Bit like why supermarkets move all the products around, so that when you just go in to get some toothpaste, it's not where it was, but now you're looking at potted plants and you buy one of those. So we want them to see all of the products in the members area too. And so what we've just done is we've just really said, welcome to our world. The living room's there, kitchen's there, toilet's top of the stairs on the right. They feel totally at home, really comfortable. They know where everything is and why it's good. And so now, as soon as they finish the getting to know you sequence, we now don't send them any live broadcast emails still. They haven't had any yet. They're not getting them. They now go through a sequence of sales campaigns, all designed to sell our core offer, which for us is our membership, the league, and to sell it from different angles. First thing that they go through is just like a straightforward sales campaign. It tells them what it is, why it's good, why they should buy it, likes it, and why they should buy it now. And a bunch of people join through that. If they don't, well, that's fine. They just go, they continue down the train. They go into the next carriage. And the next carriage is a different kind of sales campaign. Maybe it leads with a piece of content like a webinar or a free video or something that doesn't send people straight to a sales page. It sends them via some piece of content first. And then some people buy and some people don't. And if they don't, we put them into another campaign. For us, that's another content-led one. The first one, we use a video. The second one, we use a webinar. After that, if some people buy, if they still don't buy, they still, and if they still think they're getting our like live daily emails, because that's what it feels like. The next campaign is a sequence about, you know, why haven't you joined yet? And we take them to a survey and we ask them why they haven't joined. And then we follow up with them differently based on their responses, that kind of thing. And then at the end of the train carriages, only when they've got to the very end and they've been through all of these sequences, first of all, we make like easily 80%. Of our membership sales then. And the whole thing is like less than 6 weeks long. Like it speeds up a bit depending on what you click on. You'll dynamically move through it a bit faster. But even if you took really long time to click on anything, it would take you about 6 weeks to go through it. So in 6 weeks, we've made 80% of the sales we're ever going to make of our membership to the subscribers that come through. That doesn't mean we've converted 80% of our subscribers. It means we've made 80% of the sales those subscribers will ever make from those subscribers. At the end of that, there's only really 2 reasons why they haven't joined. One, they're really not interested in learning email marketing. They don't want to do it, in which case, great. We can put them into promotions for our agency where we do people's email marketing for them or that kind of thing. Or the timing is just wrong. Right now, I'm focused on making my product. Or right now, I'm focused on building the members area. Or right now, I'm focused on making my webinar. The stuff you've got to do before you can do really a lot of the email marketing. And they'll come back and join later. And so that's okay, because we email our list every day. So once they've come out of the engine, they just start receiving our day-to-day emails. They don't know that they were in an engine and now they're not. They don't know that they were about receiving automations and now they're not. It all feels very organic and timely. And so now they just hear from us every day with a short, sharp story, tip, idea, or a piece of inspiration. And every single email has something for them to click because that's so important. Every single email has either an episode of the Email Marketing Show podcast or a link to a sales page or something like that. Every email has our version of Dean Jackson's super signature in the bottom, which we call the Super Signature Reloaded. And so at some point, when it's their time to buy, and some people will never buy from us. Obviously, some people will just never make that leap. They'll never be ready to invest in that. And that's fine too. Every business has that. But for everyone who will buy from us, when the time is right for them and all the stars are aligned and everything's right, and it's the perfect timing, they feel inspired and they hear the thing that they need to hear to make it their time, there's an email in their inbox every day for them to jump on and check it out. And so that's how we convert those people. And just what we found is if we compare, now that we do things like run Facebook ads and other stuff, nothing. If you just take a list building mechanism and you build a subscriber list and all things being equal, the engine being the same, of all of the traffic methods that we've ever dabbled in, nothing converts people like having heard us do a podcast interview or having seen us do a 40-minute training inside some other membership they're in. That's where we gather the vast majority of our conversions from. And that's how we've been able to make a ton of money, but from what most people would consider to be a really small list. I'm talking less than 5,000 subscribers in total. And we clean it out all the time to keep it less than 5,000 subscribers by getting rid of the people who are disengaged and stuff. Is because we're not bringing in people who found us on Facebook where we were flavor of the month for that 1 minute because they wanted that one lead magnet, but they don't actually care about hearing from us going forward. We've built a list of 5,000 fans who've seen us teach. Most of them have seen us teach in places. Like they've actually come and sat through a masterclass of some description, and then they've come and joined our list. And so they're actually joining our list to hear from us rather than just to get that PDF.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I love that. And just two questions I just came from that. I've been taking a page of notes. So the one question that I had right there was, so when somebody comes in, you said that they do a 4 email sequence or they get 4 email sequences for the welcome email. How do you switch them to the sales? Because I know that's something that I personally struggled with is like that awkwardness of going from like, hey, I'm Adam. Hey, I'm Adam. Like, this is how cool we are. And it's like, buy my stuff. Is there something that you're doing to transition? Or is it as simple as, hey, this is really cool. You should go check out the Facebook group. And then the next day it's like, go buy my stuff.
Yeah. So what you need to do, the last email of your welcome sequence. So ours is day number 4 of our getting to know you sequence. You want to make sure that nobody knows they're in a different automation. Remember this, right? It should be one flow. The automations is your internal way of knowing how you're splitting up the offers and how you're presenting them. So the end of the fourth email, which is the last email of the welcome sequence, it says, tomorrow, I'm going to show you exactly how we outcome, outcome, outcome. So you are sort of opening the expectation of that. So then when tomorrow you show up and go, hey, here's a really cool thing you can do to outcome, 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 and link, and then they're up to your sales page, it's got this expectation. But here's the other really interesting thing. Okay, your welcome sequence, the first 4 days someone is in your email system, is the time at which you're probably going to have the highest level of their attention in the entire duration of your relationship with that subscriber. So yes, you might very well have a very good open engagement, click-through, and other rates of those emails, but you're still not going to be getting 100%. So not 100% of those people who are opening your first sales email even saw email number 4 or email number 3 of your welcome sequence anyway. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. I think it's all about that first email that basically says, hey, because let's remember, people are on your email list because they saw something of you and they believe that you have the solution to the problem they have. And they care about this, having that solution enough to join your email list and go with you on this journey. So when you show up on the fifth day and say, hey, here's a big problem, and your audience goes, flipping heck, I've got that problem too. I'd love to solve that problem. That's why I'm here. Wow, I'm pleased you showed up. And at that point you say, I've got this link to help you solve that problem. And that link takes them to a landing page, a sales page, a offer page, which solves that problem. Then that's absolutely fine. That's what they want you to do. That's the reason we get frustrated with people who say, I've got a 7, 10, I saw in a Facebook group earlier today, 30-day welcome sequence before they get into selling them. Dude, this person's got a problem. Solve the problem for them, even if it's free. Solve the problem.
The other thing we do with this is our welcome sequence, our getting to know you sequence, It is not. Most people's welcome sequences do, and it's why they take so long, is that it's like their autobiography broken down across emails. It's the story of pain and how they found the problem. We don't talk about any of that in our email. We talk about who we are and why we're different. So hypnotist, mind reader, psychological email marketing. But then apart from that, the whole of the emails are benefit led for them. The truth is, like, most people don't really care about your story that much. So our emails are talking about, and it is, it's one thing broken over the course of four emails to keep people reading from one to the next. But each email in its own right is valuable. And it basically breaks down our unique framework and explains why our thing is different. So if you go through our Getting to Know You sequence and you go through somebody else who teaches email marketing's welcome sequence, you'll get to the end of ours and you'll know why we are different to them. In theirs, you probably won't. And so what that means is,
you probably know that they had... You'll know that a mother with a different name and that they lived in a different city and they've got a different rags to riches story. But like, everyone's flipping got one. So why are we doing that? Like, it's not unique.
Yeah. So when you get to the end of our welcome sequence and you go into the first sales email, you at least know why our entire approach to email is different.
Yeah. And it's, again, it goes right back around to that whole thing of, we don't just tell you, we show you.
Yep, absolutely. So you guys are really pre-selling during that first initial, like, four days is what you're doing. Is you're going ahead, you're pre-selling them. And then one other question that I had here was, so the way that I've heard two different ways of people doing this is that, especially when they do daily emails, because I think a lot of people, mm-hmm. I mean, one, I struggle coming up with stuff every single day to write emails. So I guess that's a question for you, is how do you come up with stuff? And then do you rotate between values, like 1 week of value, 1 week of sales, or is the sales and the value, is that built in together?
Oh, I couldn't think of a better question. I just
this is the best question in the world for us. So the reason it's a great question is because we have a whole course that we call the bottomless email strategy. It's about how and the reason we came up with it was because we know the value. We've seen the statistics in our own business and many other people's businesses about emailing daily. Emailing daily improves your deliverability because you're giving more proof to Gmail and everybody else that when you send emails, you're doing a good job. People engage with them because they've got more data. They give you better placement in the inbox. Like, there's a million different reasons for emailing more regularly, building deeper relationships, being there when people need you, right? In fact, we would go so far as to say, if you're not emailing 3 times a week, email. Like, you may as well not. Because once a week, what is that? Like, 7 days between people seeing an email from you? If you're getting a 30% open rate, 70% of your list didn't see anything from you this week. And if some of those people don't see anything from you next week, that's 70% of your list didn't hear from you in 2 weeks. Like, it's too long, right? So how do you come up with ideas? So this is exactly the problem we had. We were like, right, we're going to email every day, but how do we make it so that we can do it fast? And I mean, when we started, 20 minutes a day. Now, 4, 5, sometimes 6 minutes a day.
Just very quickly, when we came up with this, we were doing it for our separate businesses, not teaching email marketing. This is like 12 years ago. So we were just mates with separate businesses and we needed a quick way to do it. We came up with it and now we teach it.
Right, exactly. So we came up with a bunch of shortcuts. Let me give you them. The first thing we need to do in all of our business, whether it's the email part or whatever, is we need to reduce the number of mental calories it takes to burn to get to the result. Right? And so the result we want is, we want to stand and send an email every single day while the kettle boils to make your first cup of tea or coffee in the morning, right? That's what I want to do. I want to do it in 4 minutes if I can, because I know the result's good, but I need to get to do it fast. So how are we going to do that? Let's go with some shortcuts. First mental bit of cognitive load, these mental calories we're going to remove is today a sales day or a value day? That's a decision we have to make, and we have to like think about some stuff and go, what's in the calendar? All that stuff, all those activities you have to do and considerations you have to make, they're all good reasons to just say, I'm not going to email today. They are brilliant. It's so much easier not to email every day if you think about it that way. So instead, every day is a value and offer day. Every day. So what we do is, what in our bottomless email strategy course, we teach 4 different frameworks, but I'll give you one that you can literally just go and use. Just go use this, right? And it is to come up with story, lesson, offer is the framework. SLO, a new meaning for SLO. Story, lesson, offer. And that is basically, you start off in the email with a story. That story can be anything. It can be, and it should not be related to the thing you sell. That sounds crazy for everyone listening, but it should not be related to the thing you sell. Because if you just show up an email about the thing you sell every day, there's no good reason to open your emails. I'll say it again because it's really important. If you just email about the thing you email every day, there is no good reason to keep opening your emails, because at some point they're going to go, I get it. I know what you sell. I don't need a washing machine right now, but when I do, I'll open your flipping email, I'll click the link, right? Whereas if it's a story about something, and then you take that story, and we'll give you a really great mind hack that we came up with for coming up with stories, like fast, instantly, no research in a second. We'll give you one of them anyway. So you go with the story, and then you relate that to what is the moral of that story? So what is the lesson? What is the piece of value? How can I serve the emotional needs of my audience with this story? So Rob ordered a brand new mattress after he hadn't bought a mattress for years, because he's dirty, but he hadn't bought a mattress for years. It shows up and he's expecting like two really big strong people carrying it up the stairs in a big mattress shaped box. Turns out there's just one little guy knocks on his door, hello, and drops this little sort of tube sort of shaped parcel on his doorstep. Rob looks very confused as to how this could possibly be a mattress, and the guy says, hey, we vacuum pack them for storage and for delivery. That's got nothing to do with email marketing, but Rob sent that story out as an email about our membership, the league, or the podcast, or something, right? So, what that turns into is, this is the story, you've heard the story now. The lesson is, sometimes things can look a bit strange from the outside, like, and you don't really know what it's like until you actually get in there. That's a bit like email marketing, isn't it? Like, from the outside, it can look technical, it can look daunting, it can look creative, it can look at all these things. Actual fact, it can be much simpler than you think it's going to be. That's great. So by having a story and a lesson, I've just given you two pieces of emotional value in that email. Two pieces of value. So now when I transition into an offer, hey, if you want to find out more about that, we're talking about it on this week's episode of the Email Marketing Show podcast. Click here or go to Apple, iTunes, and Spotify, blah, 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 blah. I've now given you an offer, and that offer could be free, like go and check out your podcast. It could be, hey, go, let me talk about more about how to do this in my product, the bottomless email strategy, or the league, or membership, or whatever. What's really nice is I don't have to wonder, is today a value day or today an offer day? It's going to be two pieces of value outweighing the offer, free or paid, 2-1 every single time. I don't even have to think about it. There's no mental calories, there's no cognitive load. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you just got my brain turning, because this is something that I always struggled with email marketing, was that you're trying to write an email and you're trying to sell an offer or whatever it may be. And I used to switch between like, hey, here's some value, go out and do this, or here's a sale. But I like what you're saying there, because it can change everything. So for example, on a Tuesday, you could go ahead and sell one of your products. And then the next day, because you're changing the story, you could actually rotate and say, hey, I just found this really good affiliate offer that's really helpful, because you don't have to keep that congruency. What you're saying is every day is a new day for that email. Is that correct? Is that
you could, but here's the really cool thing is you don't even have to find new offers, because if you only have one product, because honestly, we mostly have one thing we offer. We have our membership. It's called The League. It's about email marketing and psychology-based email marketing. If I was to show up 365 days a year, including Christmas Day, including New Year's Day, and tell you about how The League is fantastic again, you're going to stop reading my emails. Compared to, this is how much people love reading our emails. People get our emails selling The League, story, lesson, offer. The story's different every day. New stories happen every single day, making your emails always fresh. And then we talk about the offer.
Interestingly, they do sometimes follow on. So I sent two about the mattress. One when I ordered it, which was all about how hard it is. It was in a pandemic, how hard it is to buy a mattress online when a mattress is a thing you really test. And secondly was when it arrived, the story that Kennedy told. So like equally, like I took up running at the start of last 2021. I took up running and I got replies from people saying like, oh, I love running. I hate running. I did a series of emails about the fact that I was running and my experience of being someone who'd never run to being somebody who's running every day as part of this fitness challenge. And so what you're doing is you actually, you create follow-on stories where people are keen for the next chapter of that story. But sorry, go on, Kennedy.
Yeah. And what's really nice is you can sell the same thing every single day. And this becomes so addictive to people. And this is here's the evidence of it. I mean, we wouldn't have believed it if we hadn't seen it ourselves. So I'll tell you what we saw is people were receiving these emails every single day, story, lesson, offer, different story, different lesson from it, same offer, join our membership every single day. Then they joined it. They took the offer. They clicked the button. They went to the sales page. They thought, yes, I want to sort my email marketing out. I want to learn it from Robin Kennedy. I want to do it the psychology-based way. I want the campaigns. I want the training. They click and they joined. And then they complained. They wrote to us and they complained that they were no longer getting our daily emails. And we wrote back saying, are you crazy? Those emails sell you what you bought. And they said, yeah, but I miss them and I really love reading them. So imagine if your emails, and they're not difficult. I'm dyslexic, and that's why I started writing, right? So imagine if your emails were so good, not only did people who haven't bought from you yet enjoy reading them, but people, once they've even bought from you, still want to read your sales emails.
That's so cool. I love this. This is amazing. I mean, you're shattering so many thoughts I even have about email marketing too. So this is really, really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, I could stay on with you guys for absolute hours and hours and hours, but I know you guys have other things to do today. But this has been such a helpful podcast. And I think even for me too, just to be able to break down that structure of how you're going ahead and doing that. And I guess one final question that I have from you is, for you, where have you seen the best monetization from? Is it from sending people to a lead magnet? Is it to sending people to your podcast? Or is it to sending people to your Facebook group? If you could say one of those has been the biggest win for you, where do you think it is?
I think it's the opposite of all those, isn't it, Rob?
Yeah, sort of this the biggest thing that we've got the best results from is actually a really simple lead magnet. It's a lead magnet that anyone listening to this could go and create in the next 20 seconds. If you've got some sort of technology to build a page, you know, like a landing page builder like ClickFunnels or Convertree, the one we use, or something like that. If you've got some method of making a page, and if you're listening to a podcast like this, I would imagine you do. A really simple landing page. If you want to see how ugly ours is, just go to emailmarketingheroes.com/daily. And literally the offer is, would you like to receive an email from us? It's more succinctly worded than this, but would you like to receive an email from us every single day with some sort of tip, story, idea, or piece of inspiration to help you improve your email marketing? Put your name and email address in here. And so people are actually opting in to receive our emails, like a million years ago, where you could just put a little newsletter box on your blog and everyone would opt in. Then that stopped working. That's so old, it's new now. So literally just, would you like to receive an email from me that's value-packed, will make you smile, make you cry, make you angry, make you laugh, and will help you improve your email marketing every single day? Put your name and email address in here. In terms, again, our entire philosophy is that subscribers are not Pokemon. You don't have to collect them all. You want to keep your list trim. We would hate having a list of 100,000 people. It becomes unmanageable. It becomes unwieldy. The deliverability gets difficult. You can't really build relationships with those people. For us, like 5,000 subscribers is perfect for having like high six-figure, seven-figure business from 5,000 subscribers is a dream. Cost of hosting that subscriber list is super low. They all feel like they know, like, and trust you. When it's people's type to check out or disengage, they do, and they get cleaned out, and then new people are coming in all the time. And so that gets you a probably lower conversion rate. Although actually in our business, it converts most of the lead magnets we've got. But even if it does get you a lower conversion rate, you're going to get higher engagement and more sales from those people because they're actually opting in to receive your emails. That's probably closely followed by our Facebook group, I would guess.
That's incredible. I love that. This has been so cool. And I want to thank you, Rob and Kennedy, so much for jumping on today. This has been insanely powerful, and have an entire page of notes now that I've gone ahead and written down following this. And I'm definitely going to be implementing some of these steps that you actually add in here. So thank you guys so much for jumping on. And if anybody wants to go ahead and find out more about you, what was that URL that you want them to go to again?
So there's a few different places. One of the things we absolutely do want you to do is make sure that when you send emails, make sure you always have a call to action, even if it's a free thing that you want people to go and click on. The reason for that is it's a really good indicator to Gmail and everybody else who receives emails from you that people enjoy your emails, they get value from them. So make sure there's links in them. The thing is with links is they can get boring and people become blind to them, a bit like ad blindness. They become, if it just says click here to check it out every single time, that comes invisible. So we need to have ways of sexying up the way that we get people to click our links. And so what we've done is we've put together a book of 12 different ways of getting people to click your links, 12 completely unique and creative ways. And we're calling that book Click Tricks because I'm not very good at naming things. So we call it Click Tricks because there's not a better name really, is there? So what we've done is we've put over at emailmarketingheroes.com/LGM for lead gen mastery, obviously. So emailmarketingheroes.com/LGM. You can go and download that. We'll put it together for you, especially for the show.
That's amazing. Well, thank you guys so much. And thank you everybody for going ahead and listening to this podcast. And we will be back with you with some more lead gen mastery. So guys, have a great day. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for joining this week's session of Lead Generation Mastery. If you haven't done so yet, make sure to go to adamoleary.com/group. Join the Facebook group and you'll be able to download this week's step-by-step written process, which you can hand off to a virtual assistant or implement yourself to start generating leads right away. You'll not only get access to this week's written process, but all of our other shows' processes as well. Go to adamoleary.com/group in order to download the guide now. All right, see you next week.